Hello, I'm Sylvia Ash Bullard, and today I'm joined by Lois Boateng, who is studying Honors Applied Psychology at Bishop's University. And recently, she's just completed recruiting participants for a very interesting study, and she's here at the Cube Studio to tell us a little bit about it. Now, the study is very interesting. You examined how jurors make decisions in a court case, didn't you?
Yes, I did. So we presented a criminal case to each participant, and their case kind of, the general outline of the case was the same, but there was little differences. Some people had a picture of the defendant, others had a sort of psychological description of them, so this saying that this person was warm or cold, and other people had a access to his occupation. So in this case, Hank was a janitor, or another case, Hank was a scientist. So given these little differences, we wanted to see if that would influence how people would respond. Would they judge Hank to be guilty or not guilty?
Now, how did you find your participants?
I found them online. I use social media, so I did a lot of recruiting on LinkedIn, Facebook. I even use like scheduled posts, so people were starting to get annoyed and they would see it all the time. I use like Twitter, just different social media, and it was great because I was able to get 191 participants, and I think it's a lot easier than having people come in because it took 10 minutes to do the study.
Oh, so it wasn't a very long study.
No, you found 10 minutes in your day. Everyone's always on Facebook or on LinkedIn. 10 minutes you did the study, and it sent right to me.
And so what did you find? Have you completed your results yet?
We're still analyzing the data. So far, we have significance for attractiveness. So the attractive defendant was judged less guilty. Than the unattractive defendant. However, it only explained 4% of our, the total variance, meaning to say it only explained 4% of our the reason for that. So we have to kind of look at what are the other factors, what else is going on to see what influenced people's decisions.
Okay. Now, what do you do with a study like this? Where does the data go?
Well, the data is stored with Dr. Mark and Tony. Eventually, I could present it at a conference or whatnot. I am going to be presenting my results next week during Research Week at Bishop's. But it's stored, and then after about 5 years, I think less than that though, it's going to be electronically deleted.
Have there ever been other studies similar to this?
Yes. Basically, this is based on other studies, of course, where research has said that attractive defendants benefit from what's called the attraction leniency bias, where attractive defendants are judged less guilty. And if they are judged guilty, they have less harsh sentences. And other research has shown how the socially attractive defendant, so that scientist, for example, was also judged less guilty than the janitor, for example. So my study aimed to kind of combine attractiveness, but also with empathy, because it was another study by Heigrich and Bottoms that showed that when empathy was prompted on the part of jurors, they also tend to give more not guilty verdicts. So I wanted to fuse those two together and study attractiveness and empathy simultaneously and see how they're bearing on juror verdicts.
So this could have a crucial role in the delivery of justice.
Yeah, for sure, because it's funny. I was just reading an article on Toronto Star, and they were talking about how lawyers use amateur psychology to pick their jurors because they know that, for example, if you have a blue-collar worker on trial, the defense would probably want to get people who are also blue collar or what have you. There was a comment by one lawyer saying that they don't want teachers because they tend to be very strict and by the book. So there's some amateur psychology going on when they're selecting jurors. So one aspect of our study was to look at demographics. So we asked our participants to enter some demographic data, and we want to create a model to see, like, you know, do women give more or less guilty verdicts, men, depending on job and whatnot. So we want to create a model like that and see if, you know, if something comes out of it, to see, give some backing basically to lawyer to say, like, you know, why wouldn't you pick that teacher over that scientist? Mm-hmm. Like, mm-hmm. to really give some backing to that. Yeah.
Right, right. This all brings to mind a movie that I recently saw. And I don't know if you're familiar with it, but maybe it was even an older movie. And I can't, for the life of me, think of the name of the movie right now, but they wanted to make sure that they picked the right jurors, and just basically all of the things that you just said mm-hmm. played an important factor in getting the right jury. Yeah. I don't know if you know which movie I'm talking about.
No.
Might be interesting for your research. Yeah. But
it's just like something that really piqued my interest because I know I'm planning on hopefully getting into law school, so mm-hmm. I wanted to have a topic that really touched into that. And it's always interesting because, especially in the States, they a lot of law firms would just kind of like hire random people to conduct like these juror consultations. So they'll put together a mock jury mm-hmm. and then kind of like plead their case in front of them to see how they would react and what kind of people are they looking for when they're doing jury selection. So this kind of plays into that. If we're really able to determine who's more likely to give guilty verdicts, who's most likely not to give guilty verdicts, that could really play in the hands of lawyers.
Yes, yes, for sure. Well, it's all very, very interesting. But you also have something else that you're going to tell us about today, and that's something else that you do at Bishop's.
Yes, I'm the Caribbean and African Sioux Association event coordinator, and every year we have a culture show. And this year is going to be on March 19th. Doors open at 7. Show starts at 8. It's open to everyone from the community to come. We're in our 8th annual edition of this show. And we're going to have so much fun there. It's some fashion scenes from India, African lines. We have Brazilian, some samba coming in, a church choir. Some Chinese dancing. So really just a appreciation, a cultural appreciation from all around the world.
It sounds great. And your function is that you take care of the fashion scenes, right?
Yes, I'm really excited about that. We have like 6 fashion scenes this year. We went from 2 to 6, so we're really expanding. And they're just beautiful, beautiful designs.
Well, that's great. So that's going to be on March 19th. The doors open at 7 o'clock, right? And the show starts at 8 o'clock. Where can people find tickets for this?
They could buy tickets at Doolittle's, which is a little convenience store that's in Bishop's. Or they could just buy tickets at the door, which would be $10. The show will be held in The Gate, which is in the sub-building, student union building in the lobby. So at the door, it would be $10, or you could just buy the tickets at Doolittle's in advance for $7.
Well, that sounds like a pretty interesting show, pretty enjoyable. And also, Bishop's is having Research Week next week as well, aren't they? From the 25th to the 27th, and it's in the Art Gallery. So anyone can drop by and speak to researchers to learn more about the different subjects?
For sure. They could come by and see me or see other honor students who are also presenting their thesis, their research, and other faculty members who have conducted studies also.
Thank you so much for stopping by today.
Thank you.